For Monday, August 30th, it's the early word from the WNYC newsroom. Hello, I'm Lance Lucky, in for Isaac Davey Aronson, with a look at this morning's top news stories, the day ahead, and reporting highlights from the WNYC news team. Coming up, Ilya Marritz tags along with a Tennessee family to get an idea of what American families are spending their money on when they visit the Big Apple. We'll start with the morning's top headlines just ahead.
The Early Word is a production of WNYC Radio. You can support this podcast by making a donation at WNYC.org, where you can also get the latest updates on this morning's headlines on the news page.
The imam spearheading the proposed Islamic Cultural Center and mosque in Lower Manhattan says the fierce opposition to it is closely linked to the upcoming November elections. In an interview with the Abu Dhabi-based newspaper The National, Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf says the political races are having a, quote, major impact. He did not cite any particular campaign, but many conservative candidates have aligned themselves with those opposing the project. The imam also says the struggles facing American Muslims are similar to past religion-based prejudices against other groups, including Jews and Roman Catholics. Meanwhile, on Staten Island Sunday, Christians, Muslims, and Jews gathered for the 7th annual Interfaith Walk. The event, organized by Building Bridges, included a mosque and two churches. Speaking at the Brighton Heights Reformed Church, Rabbi Judah Neuberger spoke in support of Muslims seeking to build mosques across the city.
Freedom of religion. Did we think that would be a primary issue in the America of the 21st century? And here on Staten Island, no less.
Afterward, the 50-plus participants moved on to the nearby Al-Hassan Mosque, where an imam demonstrated the call to prayer and answered questions about Islam. The event concluded at St. Peter's Catholic Church, where Hindus, Buddhists, and Christians spoke about their faith. After a week of reduced service and round-the-clock repair work, the nation's busiest commuter railroad is back to a normal schedule this morning. The fire last Monday damaged the Jamaica station's 1920s-era switch and signal system. Repair crews assessed or replaced more than 200 wires and conducted more than 300 tests on the eight-decade-old system. LIRR spokesman Joe Calderoni says later this year the Jamaica station will have a modernized switch and signal system.
There are currently three towers in Jamaica, signal towers, and that will be consolidated into one centralized, computerized command center here in Jamaica that has a lot better redundancies built into it and hopefully give us a faster recovery time if we were to have this kind of an incident again.
Calderoni apologized to riders for the service disruptions and praised them for their resilience. Tolls for out-of-state drivers on MTA bridges and tunnels could go up to $7 under a new proposal from the authority. But as WNYC's Matthew Sherman reports, the plan would be to maintain tolls at current levels for cars with New York State Easy Pass tags.
The MTA typically raises tolls the same time it hikes subway fares, and by roughly the same percentage. But this proposal would mean that 70% of the traffic on the MTA's bridges and tunnels, vehicles that use a New York State Easy Pass tag, would not see an increase come January. But cash customers would see a big jump from the current $5.50 to $7. What's more, drivers from out of state would no longer receive a discount if they used Easy Pass. They'd also have to pay $7. MTA spokesman Kevin Ortiz says the idea is to encourage people to use Easy Pass, and he points out even if you're from out of state, you can still get a New York State Easy Pass, and the discounts that come with it. New Jersey AAA opposes the idea, saying it makes no sense for out of state drivers who use the bridges less often to pay more. For WNYC, I'm Matthew Sherman.
Public hearings on the toll and fare increases begin September 13th. For details, go to WNYC.org. City parents will get another chance to comment tonight on this year's big drop in test scores. A meeting by the Panel for Educational Policy 2 weeks ago was interrupted when parents demanded time to comment before the meeting ended. Parent leader Zakia Ansari of the Coalition for Educational Justice says she thinks the city should not hold such an important meeting during the last week in August when many families are on vacation.
I mean, I'm glad they're doing it, but if they really wanted to engage parents really across the city, they would have waited till school started.
At tonight's meeting, the chancellor is expected to explain why student achievement fell by double digits when the state changed its testing system as part of the move toward higher standards. The meeting is scheduled for 6 p.m. at LaGuardia High School for the Performing Arts in Manhattan. As Hurricane Danielle spawns rough waves and rip currents off the Atlantic coast, many New Jersey beaches will remain closed through at least today. Where swimming is allowed, beachgoers were warned to stay where lifeguards are stationed and not to swim alone, even if waters don't appear to be risky, because the tides and currents can change quickly and unexpectedly. Taking a look at today's calendar. This morning, the Commerce Department releases personal income and spending figures for July, and a grassroots coalition of American Muslims releases a public service announcement in response to the controversy over plans to build an Islamic cultural center and mosque near the World Trade Center site. This evening, Mayor Bloomberg speaks at the U.S. Open's opening night ceremony at Arthur Ashe Stadium in Flushing Meadows, Queens. Just a few things happening this Monday. Earlier this month, New York City tourism officials got into a spat with their counterparts in Orlando over which city is the number one tourist destination in the U.S. One factor that's helped New York lay claim to the top spot, increasing numbers of families visiting the city, especially American families. Mayor Bloomberg has been touting the economic benefits these visitors bring, but how much do they actually spend here, and where does the money go? WNYC's Ilya Meritz tagged along with one Tennessee family to find out.
This summer, the island of Manhattan became a big jungle gym for moms, dads, and kids from around the country. Soho, Chinatown, Ground Zero, the subways, they were everywhere.
We just went to the Empire State Building, which was amazing.
Such a good view.
The Museum of Natural History.
Yankees game.
The M&M stores.
That was Douglas Brukowski and Michael Huber from California and Shane Boyd from Ohio. To get to know these visitors better, this reporter ventured deep into a place many New Yorkers avoid, Times Square. I met the Cochrans.
Baron.
Amy. Grace.
From Nashville, at the back of a long line for a double-decker tourist bus. What brought the Cochrans here? Television.
Well, there's a lot of Food Network shows that focus on New York restaurants.
And Project Runway, we actually saw Tim Gunn, so that was kind of cool.
You saw Tim Gunn?
Took a picture of him on the street.
It makes a change from the Cochrans' usual vacation spot, Alabama's Gulf Coast. 11-year-old Grace likes it here.
You're along for the ride, but
it's
a school for her.
It's fun.
Easy to say if you were born in 1999, but it wasn't always this way. George Fertitta is CEO of NYC & Company, the city's tourism promotion agency.
Culture has really been on our side. You know, in the 70s, all the TV shows were about crime in New York City.
Think Kojak or movies like Taxi Driver. Fertitta says it took years for Friends and Sex and the City to transform New York's image from scary to fun. Now even Dora the Explorer, the outrageously popular cartoon girl from TV, has joined New York's marketing efforts, doing outreach to pre-kindergartners. And while the recession drove visitor numbers down last year, the number of families coming to New York City actually increased 6%.
This is a very family-friendly destination.
But New York is not an amusement park, and it's pretty different from the towns and cities where these tourists live. Amy Cochran says one big difference from Nashville, you do a lot more walking here, which might explain why so few people are overweight. In Nashville, you drive your car everywhere.
You don't walk anywhere. You got to intend to get out and walk for exercise on purpose. You don't walk to get anywhere.
We're at Starbucks on 7th Avenue near the Cochran's Hotel. It's become their regular breakfast spot. I wanted to know how an ordinary family makes its way in the most expensive city in the country. And the Cochran's have invited me to follow them for the day. Their first expense, a fruit and cheese plate and three beverages. The nice thing here, Amy says, is the price is actually about the same as at Starbucks in Nashville. The next destination is free, the New York Public Library. Amy dives straight into a heavy book of Irish immigration records.
Corcoran, look. That could be a relation. It's kind of the same name. See, I could stay in here for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Amy calls herself a big nerd. She's actually an English language teacher in a public school. Darren is a warehouse manager for a stationery company, and together they're homeschooling Grace. The library stacks make dad and daughter antsy, so we move on to the subway and get ambushed by a group of giddy men and women in business suits.
We're on a scavenger hunt for work, and we get 5 points for everything on our list.
They want to borrow Amy's sunglasses for a photo. She hands them over. Turns out they work in advertising. This definitely doesn't happen every day in Nashville. It's early afternoon when we emerge from the B train at 81st Street, and before entering the Natural History Museum, the Cochrans fortify themselves with soda, pretzels, and hot dogs. $13.
I wouldn't call it gourmet, but we're not going to be hungry later.
Actually, not true. When we emerge bleary-eyed from the museum 2.5 hours later, everyone's stomach is growling. On Columbus Avenue, the Cochrans like the look of the fajitas at Cafe Frida.
That's the sound of deliciousness.
$83 of deliciousness with tip. Darren enjoyed his $11 margarita, but says it would cost half as much and be twice as big in Nashville. And here, we part ways.
Message one.
Yeah, this is Darren Cochran, following up, doing my homework, like you asked. After we left, we went to do the Circle Line boat tour, of course.
Darren reports at the end of the day, the Cochrans spent $171, $432 if you include the hotel and the tourist passes that got them on the Circle Line and into the Natural History Museum. A few days after they got back, I called Darren up. He told me the family spent about $3,800 total in New York City, mostly on hotels and restaurants. Was it worth it?
A vacation spent in a busy city wasn't my idea of a relaxing vacation. But I was able to relax, I think, a lot. And it was really neat. I mean, that's why I want to go back. I loved it. It's kind of a surprise, you know.
The Cochrans are now looking into a return visit next spring. If they do come back, they'll be doing more than their share for two sectors of the New York economy that have seen the most job growth over the past 12 months, hotels and restaurants. For WNYC, I'm Ilya Meritz.
You can track the Cochrans' spending and check out a family photo album at WNYC.org. And we'll wrap it up with today's Gig Alert. British beat builder Gold Panda has established his reputation by remixing popular experimental and electronic acts from the UK. His debut of Hypnotic Originals will be released on the Ghostly International record label in October. But you can hear him play live tonight at the Glasslands Gallery in Williamsburg. This song is called Snow and Taxis. You can download it and other songs by artists playing around the city tonight. Just head to our culture page, click on culture at WNYC.org. You can learn more about all the stories you heard here, download more podcasts, or go in depth with our reporters on the news blog. That's all at our website, WNYC.org. You can hear us there 24 hours a day, as well as on the air at 93.9 FM and AM 820. From the WNYC Newsroom, I'm Lance Lucky. Make it a great Monday.